I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you were going to have a theme tune to your life, what would it be? The David Brent song.
Yeah.
That would be the theme tune to your life.
Yeah.
Yours would
non-stop be... non-stop in my head.
Yours would be... don't go breaking my heart.
Yeah, that's it.
I won't go breaking my heart.
What would yours be?
Mine would be...
yours would be...
forever young. I want to be forever young.
Is that what you sing when you walk into the surgery?
Forever. Forever. Forever.
58 needles hanging out your face.
I don't go into surgery and do that.
They come to your house. Very good.
My theme tune would be simply the best.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was watching this documentary called Boeing. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I was on the flight coming back from Seville and I was like, oh, I downloaded this documentary. It's all about plane safety.
Yeah.
And I was on this flight and I started getting like panicky. I was like, oh my God, have they checked this Boeing?
It's another corporate problem. Capitalism.
What do you... this capitalism.
Yeah, well, if you watch the documentary, it's because they were chasing profit. Their shareholders are chasing profit so much, they made them take shortcuts on safety.
I didn't finish it.
I bet you like literally turned it on.
No, I watched half of it. I watched half of it.
You put your fully functioning AirPods in.
No, don't have AirPods.
And listen to yourself.
No, I watched half of it.
Yeah.
And then I started feeling too panicky because I was on the flight.
You watched it on a flight?
Yeah, I watched it on a flight.
You can't put that documentary on a flight.
I know.
That's fucked up.
I didn't. I watched it on my iPhone on a flight.
On a Boeing plane?
On a Boeing.
What?
No, I was something like,
on your iPad. No.
On my iPhone, yeah.
You're mad. Don't do that.
Well, I didn't realise it was about plane safety. And then I was like, oh my God, have you checked the MCSR? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the Boeing thing, if you haven't watched the documentary, is that Boeing created a new mechanism in the flight that would push the plane down if it was getting too much elevation. So it would sort of balance it out. However, it was forcing the plane into a nosedive and they couldn't pull out of it.
Yeah, because they didn't teach any of the pilots how to use it because it would mean that they'd have to reteach all of the pilots and therefore financially it wouldn't make sense. They basically cut corners. It was really bad.
Wow.
Those bastards. Anyway, we need to intro our guest.
We have Hugo Monnier on the podcast. Hugo, Hugo, Hugo.
Hugo.
No, Hugo.
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 He went to my school.
He went to your school, Lord Swansworth.
He played rugby for England.
And for the Lions.
He went to Japan with you.
I went to Japan with me. I see him quite a lot. I'm going to Glasgow
you've
with him this week.
You've seen his penis.
I've seen his penis.
In Japan.
Saw his penis in Japan.
Talk about that, don't we?
It was phenomenally big. It was
all right.
The way I can sort of describe it, it was like one of those reusable water bottles. Honestly, I couldn't believe it.
Nice,
yeah, yeah,
nice.
Yeah. It's the kind of content you're gonna get.
Yeah,
no, I'm just saying, Hugo's a great, great guy, a good friend of mine, an amazing rugby player. He is a pundit on BT Sports, among other things. He has his own podcast. He's very much in the rugby world. We had a great time with him chatting about loads of different things, but including, mental health and sport, which I think is a big thing at the moment. It's a big thing in general, but it's just people are recognizing it now as a big thing.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear about what he's doing in that space. It's quite like hard for players coming out of the
really hard
off the treadmill and then they're sort of like left in no man's land, not knowing what to do.
Well, he said the scary statistic is every year one or two players will try and take their own life.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really intense.
Really scary.
We have an amazing chat. We're going to leave it for that. Enjoy the episode. Oh, also remember to go and check out our Instagram page at Private Podcast. Please get in touch, slide into our DMs. We want to hear from you guys, anything at all. Also go and check out our Patreon page. No ads and way more content. It's in the link tree in our bio. Right, Minnie, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hugo Monnier on the podcast. Enjoy. You guys are at the same school together, weren't you?
Mm. Just not the same time.
And so were you at the same time as Wilkinson?
Yeah, Johnny was at the school at the same time, same boarding house, Sutton House. What house are you?
I was in Summerfield. Okay. Were you in Sutton?
I was in Sutton, yeah. So we were literally at the ends of the school.
Yeah,
Summerfield was a bit cooler though, just because...
It was when I arrived. Who did you... You had Mr. Machen, is that right?
Mr. Booth. No, Emma Booth was our matron. But Summerfield was a better house because you had Hazelveer next door.
Yeah.
You had the first team pitch just there and you had Gosden House, which was the girls' house.
This is Lords Wandsworth, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But you weren't, it was a boarding school, but you weren't allowed to mix with the girls at night, were you?
We didn't really have many girls. So
I think there was like five in my year. Yeah.
Honestly, it was insane. So when I was there, it was all boys up until sixth form, so A levels, and then that's when it was mixed. So there was literally like five girls at school. But
did you have a high school heartthrob?
I had two girlfriends when I was at Lords Wandsworth.
Well, at the same time,
and neither of them were real. They were best mates though.
It was great. It was girlfriends at school like lasted like three. Well, mine did 3 weeks.
Until you murdered them.
Is it no, I didn't dispose of them. It's just our relationship.
I had girlfriends. They lasted about 3 weeks.
But yeah, I think I was a late bloomer at school.
Right. You were not a late bloomer.
Not 100%.
Well, when did you first kiss someone?
16.
That was your first kiss?
Yeah, I was. I went to a club in Guildford.
MNG.
No, it's called The Drink.
Yeah. That's next door, isn't it?
Yeah. The Drink.
The Drink.
Whoever owned that.
What'd you get up to there? Does what it says on the tin.
Whoever owned that went, it's obviously money laundering. What should we call it? The Drink.
Well, how can we get the cops off us?
We call it The Drink. Perfect. Yeah, that makes sense. But they used to host what they would call nappy nights, where it's like underage.
So you've gone to The Drink for a nappy night.
I was 16.
I love what the world used to be like. It's absurd.
So innocent. No. Where are you going? To the club. Why? For a drink. We'll call it The Drink. They're underage. What should we call it? Nappy nights. Yeah, because that will boost their confidence.
Did you wear a nappy?
Yeah, it wasn't like some sordid club where everyone just turned up.
Pretty sure that goes on in the box, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, so hang on. So you went to nappy nights and...
Someone must have mistaken it and actually gone in a nappy, I reckon, at one point.
And I remember they had this live set. There was
a live set at a nappy night at The Drink. Everyone can only
in
imagine
Guildford, what a live set.
Whoa, settle in, lads.
They had someone called Glamour Kid and Shola Ammer doing a live set. Right. This is how innocent it was. They were throwing out curly whirlies.
What, the guy?
What, just hitting people in the head? Oh, fuck.
They're throwing out curly whirlies.
Throwing out curly whirlies, and this girl comes. This story, and I caught a curly whirly.
Yeah, of course he did.
Standard. And this girl walks over to me and went, "Oh, your curly whirly looks long and floppy."
You look down at your nappy and you went, how can you see?
Wait, hang on a second.
I swear. She said that
to you.
That's exactly what she said. And I just thought I was the man.
So I love you.
Yeah, I was like, should we get married? Is this what love is? If it is, this is what I want.
Wait, so she said that to you. Your curly whirly looks long and floppy.
Yeah, like literally the same length as every other curly whirly that has been chucked about.
Okay.
Whilst people getting high on Pepsi. And lemonade.
Panda Pop.
Yeah, and like Panda Pop.
Do you remember Panda Pops? Yeah.
Little stubby bottles.
Yeah. I used to buy them from the youth club and get really jacked up.
So hang on. So you did that. You did that and then you kissed her.
No, she took me onto the dance floor away from my friends, and I did the thing which still really cringy today. I was so chuffed of myself that there was a girl that fancied me. Mm. As she was leading me away, I like looked over my shoulder to the lads to be like, look at me. Never done this before, by the way. Never kissed a girl. But look at me. First timer.
So in between.
Also the internal dialogue that's going on in your head. You're going, I'm going to look at them and they're going to look back at me. And then I'm going to be saying to them, I'm the man. But they're not going to, I'm not going to say that to them. They're just going to know I'm going to be saying that.
And it's not like this is the first time we've ever been out. When I say been out, to a nappy night. And they'd never seen me walk off of a girl before in my life. So anyway, I walked off and this girl like kissed me. Mm. And she kissed me because I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I'm not sure what I did in those moments. I definitely know I closed my eyes out of sheer embarrassment and awkwardness. I couldn't look her in the face. And it was just I was just awkward. I was embarrassed. I genuinely don't know. There was a little bit of tongue and I was like, what do we do? I've seen this on movies. Where do I put it? Do we just like go round and round and round? What point do we stop? How do I breathe and kiss at the same time?
Sounds quite dramatic.
Genuinely.
Did you have moments of doubt where you're like, she's only in this for my curly?
Yeah. Like, she just wants it. If you want it, take it. I'm out. I'm out.
So you said to her, if you want it, take it.
Yeah.
Be done with it.
Because it should be an experience, but it was an experience which posed so many more questions than I ever thought. Because on TV, it was just, they just looked like having a good time. The mental trauma I was going through, I was just like, what's going on?
And then you almost finish.
And it wasn't enjoyable.
And then you finish it and you almost want feedback. Was that right?
Yeah.
Was that right?
Well, we kind of, it was so transactional. So we kissed, I don't know. Was it just like a tongue assault? Genuinely, I have not a clue. I walked back and it was obvious I'd kissed this girl. This girl's white, I'm black. Shock. There we are. Spoiler alert.
Thank God you got that.
Oh my God.
Thank God you got that out of the bag. Jesus.
I didn't know how to approach that.
Yeah.
God. I like, walk back.
Shock.
Mic drop. There we go.
I always, like,
is that your chat on the night as well?
You pause at that moment. She was white. I'm black. Why did you pause?
The point I'm trying to get to is...
We just stood awkwardly at you.
And I like walked back to lads and they knew I'd kissed her. Not because I had a swagger who I was skipping across and I looked really happy. It's because I had all her foundation over my face.
Oh my God. It's horrible.
All of her makeup.
It's like some crime scene. Like.
Yeah.
Look at me, boys.
Yes, that's why I said, if I was to wear makeup, I wouldn't apply that tone of makeup on my face. But it was splattered across my face.
Just what it looks like to be a player.
I was like, none of this is cool. Like, none of this is cool. So that was it. Like, it was not a great first experience.
How have things gone from there? Is it still...
I don't know. I'd say the beard's more an issue now because you can get skin irritation, can't you?
But surely you must have been so developed when you were younger. You must have been one of these kids that were just big.
I wasn't like the biggest lad at school. I was really quick at school. And then in my first year at Harlequins, it was the best and worst thing that happened to me because my mum was like, go to uni, like African household. I was like, Mum, I think I'm going to take a year out to play rugby. She was like, what's rugby?
Have you not been watching what I've been doing on my weekends?
Yeah. She's like, what are you on about? Like, that's a hobby.
What are you on about? Get that foundation off your face.
Exactly.
You look mental.
You know, if you want a hobby, go and play Minecraft. But you're not taking a year out to like pursue this hobby.
To be fair, you would have made more money in Minecraft. Yeah,
I probably
would.
Also,
big,
also
big,
what year was this?
This is
Minecraft.
What was that? Oh, Warhammer. That was
cool. Warhammer was big. Warhammer was big.
There we go.
Okay, Warhammer.
Yeah.
But and so like everything in an African household is very much education, education, education. So to take a year out, that was like, why are you trying to bring shame to the family name? Like, what are you doing?
So there's pressure as well.
There was pressure, yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to take a year out. And then I just went and did it. And I think 4 weeks into my first year, I broke my toe and I was out for 4 months. Mum's like, well done.
Yeah, you smashed it.
Yeah.
Shame the
How
family.
How did you break your toe? Just
she did it.
She did it.
Yeah, she
came
she did
and stamped
it.
You.
Go to uni. So I can't walk and I have no degree.
Get back in that painting room. Paint that Warhammer.
That's it. And I've shamed my family. I wasn't even getting paid. In that photo, I wasn't even getting paid. It just literally costed me.
So you went to Harlequins, break your toe.
Honestly, when you break it down, I wasn't getting paid. I was living at home. Mum wanted me to go to university and I have a broken foot. It was not a good start to a professional career.
But you wanted to be a footballer before that.
Yeah, I did.
How good are you at football, actually?
I was decent. I played to a real good level. And like every like rugby player will tell you, oh, I had trials. I did actually have trials. And
who for?
Don't say Arsenal.
Yeah.
Arsenal. Yeah, there you go.
Genuine. Like that's all I wanted to do.
Who did you play with?
Huh?
Who did you try with?
Oh, they've all gone to make it. All of them.
Who? Tony Adams.
Tony Adams, Nigel Winterburn,
Razor Ruddock.
Razor, John Fashnu,
Vinnie Jones.
Yeah, I mean, they're all like 20 years older than me, but they've all got to make it. It's just a life I didn't want for myself.
Bergkamp was up and coming.
Yeah, he was in the academy. We were just trying to filter him into the team at that point. And it was a choice between him and I, and they just were undecided. So, you know, I think they made the good choice at the end. But yeah, football I wanted to do, broke my toe. And then that gave me the ability. All I did that year was gym. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't run. And I needed to be a lot bigger, a lot more robust. I then came back after being injured, having put on some size, had trials of England under 19s. And in the warm up, I broke my toe again.
For God's sake.
What are you on about?
Your toe wasn't ready for this new mass that you put on.
You broke it again and tried it.
What are you doing with your feet?
I don't know.
Flailing around.
Honestly, it was like the weakest thing that my body possessed.
It's like Achilles' toe.
Honestly, I was just like this. Surely not. So I was out pretty much for a whole season.
How old are you this way?
18.
Yeah, 18.
But this also happened. So this is 2001. I just watched the British and Irish Lions go down to Australia. They lost that series, but one of the players that Harlequins had was a player called Keith Wood, Irish hooker.
Yeah, amazing.
He was voted the world's best player. And he came back after that tour and had his 10th shoulder operation.
Jesus.
So I'd like come out of school fanboying about the Lions, watching Living the Lions on DVD.
Yeah.
Broke my toe, broke it again. And who was my training partner? Keith Wood, the world's best player. So he took me under his wing and I trained with him for the best part of 6 months. And that's why it was the best thing to happen to me. I didn't realize that at the time, but it was phenomenal. But if you want to understand what professionalism is and how to be better, and if you want to succeed in everything, why not learn off the world's best player?
Mm.
And in any other circumstance, him and I would never have bonded. It was like, it was meant to be in a roundabout way. And I still speak to him today. And whenever I see him, the only thing I've got is absolute adoration, love, and just gratitude, because someone in his position looking after this little kid, he just didn't need to. And he helped me, drove me, and inspired me so much in that first year.
Apparently he was a player who he would never stop.
Never.
As in like he would just keep going. And going, yeah. And going. He had this bald head and he would come out with cuts always over his head the entire, but he would, according to everyone, and I think I've spoken to you about everyone else, he just was a machine.
Absolute machine. Like, I thought I knew what hard work was at school, like go to the gym.
You were lifting at school. I don't know anyone who went to the gym at school.
Well, it was kind of lifting, but not lifting. You know what the gym was like at school.
Yeah.
It was cool to have a gym at school, but it wasn't like, that wasn't going to prepare me to be a professional rugby player or play internationally. And then I met him and he's like, yeah, I've kind of been operating at a pretty severe level. And I was like, wow, that was a surprise. I didn't know. And it was an expedited way of me learning the like fundamental requirements of how to be a professional rugby. I didn't know what being a professional was, like train hard, work hard, sleep, recovery. He just took me to places in my year one. And I was a student a few months ago. I was doing my A-levels and now I'm working the world's best. And that's why, although that first year was so disappointed, no money, family shame, everything else, it was the best thing to happen to me. And that's where I kind of put on. So to give you a stat. So
how tall were you there?
I think kind of stopped growing at that age. Like I was 5'6". Yeah. I'm 6'1.5".
Really sprouted.
It was just the environment. Just the environment. Ate really well.
He was a really great mentor. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He helped me grow metaphorically and quite simply physically. What do you mean? I wasn't 10. How tall was I?
Because I imagine you, because you're so big.
I got loads bigger that year. Bench press, I could on free weights.
Oh, here we go. Here we go, go on.
I could push 60 kilograms, like on a...
At 18?
Like, yeah, 60, that was it, 60. Yeah. But machine weights, I could probably lift a bit more, but free weights, you need the stability. By the end of that season, I could push 180.
No, you're lying.
Genuine.
You could bench 180?
18, yeah. But what else could I do? I couldn't run. All I could do was weights and did some boxing and lots of swimming. Absolutely love that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I saw this thing the other day where there was this Hungarian guy who wanted to find out if it was nature or nurture that creates talent, mm-hmm. right? So what he did is he wanted to do it with his own kids. Mm-hmm. So he married a teacher and he decided...
Just for the experiment.
He married this girl, but then they fell in love and things like that, but he did it for the experiment. And she agreed to it as well. They said, right, we're going to bring our kids up in a way where we're going to dedicate their lives to something certain, that they are then going to become the greatest at. And they chose chess, right? He had three daughters.
The kids like sick.
He had three daughters.
What's a stitch up? Chess. This is the life of certainty.
Yeah.
Chess. What a football.
What a stitch up. You could have picked anything. Why are you picking chess?
So harsh.
On this audio bit that I was listening to that said it last night, they went, and he picked... chess. Such an anticlimax. Is that what you're talking about?
His wife is thinking, you've brought me into this for a chess experiment. I don't know if this is worth it.
You can Google it. But he got three daughters and he created an environment where they just played chess all the time.
It was just chess boards everywhere.
Yeah, it was.
He literally locked them in a room with chess boards.
But they became chess masters and things like the youngest age of the youngest female champions ever and all these different things. I suppose my point is that was yours natural talent? You were a footballer, you then picked up rugby. Was yours just natural talent, or were you pushed into that sport?
Well, your parents didn't want you to do it.
Yeah, my parents didn't want me to do it. But
were you always playing sport?
I was always playing sport, and there's a bit of a lineage of sport in the family. Like my cousin, he ran at the Atlanta Olympics for Nigeria. He got to the quarterfinals, and like Michael Johnson was an idol of mine. Michael Johnson, that Olympics, home Olympics for him, ran for USA, broke the 200 and 400 meter world record. Mm. Never forget it. 1932 in the two, 43:29 in the four. Ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, I just loved it. And then in the quarterfinals, I'm like, my cousin is at the Olympics competing against a guy that I just admire. It's amazing. So there's always been people like that in our family. And natural ability only takes you so far.
Do you think it does though? Or do you think that you can... Sound like Cipriani, right? That's natural ability.
It's natural ability twinned with loads of hard work. And I love watching sport, and the best sportsmen and women make things look easy. But underneath all of that are just years and years of sacrifice. I always say it, like, I was really fortunate enough to play for the British and Irish Lions, and people might not know what that is. It's a team that comes together once every 4 years from the best of Britain and Ireland, and we play against New Zealand, Australia and South Africa. And that was the best thing I ever did. You're playing with the best of your generation. And I did that age 26, and I scored a try in a third test match, intercept from like 70 metres. It was wicked.
So ran the whole pitch.
Yeah, it was
unbelievable.
Yeah, it was wicked moment, really cool moment. But to run that 70 meters is about 6.5 seconds. Mm. But to get to that point, it took me 13 years. Mm. But people just see me catch a ball, run, put it down, and be like, "That was cool," and it's a moment. But if I had to do those 13 years again for those 6.5 seconds, I'd repeatedly do it for the rest of my life because it was the greatest moment that I had on a rugby pitch. So when people think of moments, Beckham, when he scores a free kick against Greece to get to a World Cup, and it's like from him kicking the ball into nets, 3 seconds, but how long? Johnny Wilkinson kicking a drop goal to win a World Cup final. People could have a glimpse into his life and mind and the sacrifice he's put himself in for a moment. And all you ever do is prepare yourself enough to hope to have an opportunity to have a moment. And that's where natural ability will take you so far. But unless you dedicate / sacrifice yourself to that craft, you might never get that moment.
That's I love that. That actually all your sacrifice of life leads you to moments. Mm. And that's a great thing. I didn't think of it that way, that those little moments, even though it's a moment for audience members or for colleagues or people to experience, you've actually been dedicating your life towards that one moment.
Of course, we watch Usain Bolt break a world record. We're like, look at him. He's doing all of this and he breaks a world record. And it's like absolute exhilaration for just over 9 seconds. For the last 4 years, he's put in a lot more than 9 seconds to have that moment. And I don't know, I work in sports media now, and we talk about loads of highlights, and all we see in consumer just highlights. But if you scratch a surface, what you see is something which not a lot of people are willing to do. So people say to me, like, my son or my daughter wants to play rugby. And I'm like, my question is, are they willing to put the work in to be a professional? Because everyone wants to be Usain Bolt, be Cristiano Ronaldo. Are you willing to work as hard as him? Are you willing to dedicate sacrifice? And that's the only question I ever pose back to people that say they want it. People, I want to be a boxer. Do you want to be smacked in the head as much and train and do everything? Because Tyson Fury is really cool. So is Colin McGregor and all the rest of it. You want that moment of holding up a belt and being celebrated. That's wicked. We all chase that. We all want those moments. But are you willing to put the work in to get yourself to that moment? Because if you're not, then don't tell me you want to play rugby, because you don't. You actually don't.
Yeah, it's so true. People want to obtain the goal, right? But actually they don't realise what happens behind closed doors.
You don't see it. It's not documented.
But with you, you then must have been putting in the work the entire time, realising that you wanted to go professional. Because I think, especially with professional rugby, my experience is you suddenly become professional. Mm. It's not one of these things like football where you have academies at early ages and they sort
your,
of take
your
it.
Experience. When did you go professional?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Sorry, I missed that.
I would have been great.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No. You had a bad knee injury.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's the only reason.
Yeah, that is the only reason.
Yeah. It's simply the only reason. Full stop.
That's the only reason. There's no need to talk about that.
How bad was the knee?
When I played.
You should have seen the Greys.
The nurse was honestly there for literally ages.
I'll tell you what happened. Okay. Did you listen? Yeah, I will tell you. All right. Listen up, children.
Settle in.
Listen to this. I was great. I was great. I was great. And
you played England 16s.
Played England 16s.
You were a bit of an athlete, weren't you?
I still hold the school's javelin under 12 record.
Under 12, love that.
Okay. He's
11-year-olds javelins. Yeah. That sounds really responsible.
And look, I'm going to say, I still hold the record. I then got sent a message from my old athletics coach when I was 8 to 12. Yeah. Gonna read you this, what he said.
Please.
Okay, you ready for this? This is just athletics. This is a little snippet of what I was like as an athlete. Yeah. Jamie's athletic prowess is quite outstanding. Mm. He has represented the school in athletic competition at every age. He has incredible speed, endurance, and mass self-motivation and drive. Ready? Continues. Ready?
Great.
Yeah, here you go. Under 40... no, hold on. Just wait. Just getting to the good bit. Despite being
really terrible at reading. He excels on the pitch.
I went to an event, isn't it? Despite being some 2 years younger than the oldest boys that year, he also shattered
wow.
the 1500-meter record while running at Radley. He was only beaten by one of the other boys who were 3 years older than him.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, and I hold the javelin record for under 12s. I threw it 31.2 meters. Still, the oldest record
held. Peak at 12?
No, I didn't peak at 12. And then I played loads of
Imagine
rugby.
Imagine getting to 12 and peaking. That's it for life.
This is it, lads.
Do you know how far I threw a cricket ball at 12?
I don't know.
Funny enough, I don't know the answer to this.
Really, really fucking
I genuinely don't.
Guess. Why do you guess? How far can I throw a cricket ball at 12?
I reckon twice the distance of the javelin, maybe three times.
300 meters.
Yeah.
You think I threw a cricket ball?
You were superhuman at 12.
You think I threw a cricket ball 100 meters?
No, all right, 65.
I'm going to say 52.
Yeah, 52 meters. That's why I threw a cricket ball.
I did know.
Yeah.
So my point
is that the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Well,
that is the truth. My point is, I then played a lot of rugby. I then did England schools. I then was on tour in Italy with my rugby team. I caught the ball. I ran around the pitch. I sidestepped around this guy. As I sidestepped around him, he even said, God, that guy's good. As I left him in the dust, he went...
Italian?
He said it in Italian. I translated that quickly in my head as well. And as I sidestepped, he went, oh, that's so good. And then...
He plays Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers. And then I did my ACL ligament and again, I never played again.
Because there was a banana skin that you slipped over.
Oh, that's a me.
That was goddamn Italian.
And then the second time I played after that was when you and I played...
Oh my God. Was this when you got absolutely smashed? You got floored.
We played, what was it, rugby aid.
What was the guy called? The New Zealander.
No, not that other time. We're going to talk about the other time.
Yeah.
Rugby aid.
Brad Thorne. Brad Thorne, he's like 6'8". He's won the World Cup in rugby league and rugby union. One of the great forwards of the modern game. And Jamie decided to have a small altercation with him.
I ran at him and I can only describe what I did. head as running across the pitch. I saw Uke and he was actually like, you even went past me the ball. And I ran past you and almost went, fuck off.
Oh no. And that's your life depends on it. Pass me the fucking ball.
And the only thing I did is what I can describe as a basketball shot. I tried to do a basketball shot over him.
Which is the worst thing you can do because you just reveal your body.
And he hit me so hard in the tackle that it cracked three of my ribs.
Yeah, he folded him up like a warm tortilla.
A 6'8" New Zealander. I mean, what were you thinking?
What I would say about Jamie, though, is that after that hit, and like you break three of your ribs, like that's tough to take. Mm. You didn't come off the pitch, and then you made a try-saving tackle later on. Fair play to you because, you know, whatever your teacher's name, age when you age 12,
Dom.
Like that's... That is, tip my hat to you. Like, that was wicked to be able to do that. I'd have been off. I was having this conversation, actually. Sam Warburton, ex-Wales captain, did a show of him on Sunday. And I don't know if you can see those two fingers.
Yeah, one's crooked.
Yeah, one's really crooked.
No, I hadn't noticed it. It looks totally normal.
And, it looks really weird. What is that?
I know. It's horrible. So I played a game against Exeter and I dislocated this finger. And like, I'm just like absolute pussy.
So
it's like popping out here and the physio's come on. I'm just like,
Why are you making those noises?
I was just in agony, but I've tried to internalize it. Don't let the opposition see
not very
you
well.
Like, yeah.
It's like I'm trying to hold face. A sneeze in.
And I'm like looking at the physio. He's like, run on. I was like, obviously I'm being substituted. Can't play under this. And he just straps it to my finger and I hold his hand to like take me off the pitch. And he was like, what are you doing? I said, well, obviously I have to come off the pitch.
Obviously, where's the ambulance?
Yes, where's St. John's?
You like, held his yes. hand because like, you were going to be taken
yeah,
off
I was like, obviously
pitch.
I'm coming off. And he was like, no, you're staying on the pitch. And so I stayed on. I played terribly out of protest.
Yeah, just dropping every ball. It's not me, it's the finger. Yeah.
You soaked on the pitch.
Yes. You imagine this man baby just played like a weapon. It's like, I have to go off the pitch. And I was paid to be on the pitch and wanted to come off. Rugby aid was for charity, and you broke your ribs and stayed on the pitch just because you wanted to. What's the difference?
Oh, buddy, listen, we've got to stop there for part one. We're going to come back for part two, right? When we're going to talk about the fact that when we were naked in a sauna together.
I want to hear about Japan. I really want to hear
We were
about
naked
Japan.
In a sauna together, and I got to see the mamba. We'll see you in part two, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.